Opening in prayer. To anybody else, this photo probably wouldn't mean anything. No one would pay a lot of money or give large amounts of their attention to it. It wouldn't be to them the personal treasure that it is to me. Because to them, it'd be just a photo, a random image of two hands. One of the hands, as you see, is wrinkled and worn, visibly older. A couple of the nails are a bit bruised and tattered. There's no jewelry to adorn any finger, and no real attempt at cosmetic touches. It's just plain, simple, strong, and storied, yet nobly, humbly feminine. The second hand in the picture, lying just over top the fingers of the first, is much younger and smoother. Brown, same color as the other, though with a skin texture that's still evenly composed and supple. Nails fairly neat and a tad more youthful. A ring on that fourth finger. Together, they're a quick portrait in chronological contrast. But what I really love about this picture is what's lying beneath these two hands. That old spiral notebook. Grocery store quality. $1.49 plus tax on sale. No expensive leather binding or intricately designed acid-free paper. Just a fourth-grade composition book with wide ruled line sheets and a plastic-coated cover. And yet within those pages, bound by thin metal rings, slightly mashed out of shape by the pressure of frequent use, are the vast treasures of a living legacy. These two hands, older and younger, belong to a grandmother and a granddaughter. And this spiral-bound filing cabinet contains a grandmother's prayer requests, written out, printed off, and prayed over during her daily appointment with Jesus. She meets with him the way she'd meet with any important friend, faithfully, personally, and punctually. And in those early morning moments, she opens up this book of prayer and vocalizes her needs to him, as well as the needs of others, requests she's been quietly gathering amid her daily dealings. These two women, though separated by several decades of life experiences, go out together occasionally on little afternoon dates. And since a 95-year-old metabolism can afford to indulge a predilection for McDonald's French fries and vanilla milkshakes, that's their usual outing. They drive through for a batch of that salty, sweet, hot and cold combination. Then they meander random neighborhood streets, windows down, while the lip-smacking passenger munches to her heart's delight. But it's also in these moments between her grandmother's swallows, when this grown grandchild seeks to absorb the treasured wisdom from nearly a century of holy living. Recently, on one of these fast food sprees, when the subject of prayer came up, the younger asked the older why she wrote down her prayers in a notebook like that. Then she waited, even pushing the record button on her iPhone, hoping not to miss a word of what she knew would be a long, deeply spiritual answer, one she'd never want to forget and could pass down in her grandmother's own voice for generations to come. While they glanced at each other, no one spoke for a few moments. Another French fry, long gulp of milkshake. Then came these understated words. Her grandmother said, "So I won't forget." Well, there you have it. The message of this whole book in one simple phrase, straight from the tender lips of a godly grandma. You write out your prayers so you won't forget. Won't forget who the real enemy is. Won't forget the one in whom your hope lies. Won't forget what your real need and dependencies are. And later, won't forget the record of how your God responds. Through intentional, deliberate, strategic prayer, you grab hold of Jesus and everything he's already done on your behalf. It's how you tap into the power of heaven and watch it reverberate in your experiences. It's a key part of your offensive weaponry against a cunning foe who prowls around and watches for your weaknesses, your vulnerable places, for any opportunity to destroy you. In prayer, you gain your strength, the power to gird yourself with armor that extinguishes every weapon your enemy wields. Paul the Apostle famously said it just like this: "Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil." That's Ephesians 6:11 in the New Living Translation. There's that word again. Strategies, schemes, deceptive plots being concocted for your demise by a very real enemy who is always primed to make his next move. He works overtime to destroy the relationships and circumstances you want to preserve. He laughs at your attempts to fix your own issues with timely words and hard work